You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Tom Potter.
Tom,
hey,
how
Tom,
are you?
How are you? Good to hear from you.
We're doing well.
We were just talking about you.
Yeah. Excellent.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, I was all ready to make welcome back Carter jokes, but then Ray goes, nope, wrong Carter. I was like, yeah. All right, no Barbarino for you.
Well, I gotta say, Tom, you know, we have a long history with you, and I was watching some YouTube videos, and I found this show, The Barn Find Hunter, and I'm saying, damn, that reminds me of Tom Carter. We haven't talked to him in a while, and I'm watching the show, and nowhere. Before or after did they run the credits to show, you know, give names? And one time you actually said it. You were in a car and you said, "I'm Tom Cotter," and I think that's it. I was like, I was 98% sure. And then there you came. That's what got us to reach out to you, because otherwise we wouldn't have known. So,
well, I've been doing that show for 4 years now. You're the only guy that hasn't found it. Yeah.
Well, you know why? Because now with a smart TV, I sit there sometimes and I'll watch YouTube and find some stuff. And so I'm late to the party. I admit that, but
yep.
But I've been catching
up. Some of the shows have, you know, like 4.5 million viewers, believe it or not. But it is a continuation of what I started online when I was like a 12 or 13 year old kid for old cars, and here I am, 65 years old. And I'm doing the same thing, and now I've expanded beyond Long Island to the United States.
Right. That's right. Now, you did start here. Your humble roots were on Long Island.
Yep.
You know, and just so people know, I look back into my records, and we first had you as a guest on the show January 8th, 2009. And then you actually came into the studio August 9th, 2009, and that was great, because we were covering your books at the time, the Cobra in the Barn, the Vincent in the Barn, the Harley in the Barn, the Hemi in the Barn, all of that cool stuff.
Right.
I've done 8 books at this point, Yeah.
A lot of books. Yeah, wasn't it Lost and Found, more great barn finds, Rockin' Garages, I have a copy of that, and TV Tommy Ivo's Drag Racing. I just had a listener at the AutoZeme event yesterday said to me, "Hey, you should get TV Tommy Ivo on the show." I said, "I'd love to." You got his number? You know, so, yeah, you've...
I've got his information. Get in touch with me afterwards. I'll give you his email.
Excellent. I appreciate that. We'd love to have him on. So
It's
been a few years since we've... actually, it was 2011, Joe. Tom was on the show with you, so I guess you were in studio at the time.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
You know, besides the deal with Haggerty and YouTube, what else is... what's been on the plate for you?
Well, let's see. I'm out of the racing business, and the auto racing business. I sold my agency, and so... really, you know, I guess if I was going to be, you know, what do you do for your livelihood? It would be an author, and of which there's no money to be made in that. And then it would also be Haggerty. They fly me around the country. And the Woody that I found in Brentwood on Long Island when I was 15 is one of the characters. I mean, I'm one character, and the other character is the Woody. And I drive around this Woody around the United States looking for old cars. So... And that's a real job. I mean, I get paid for that and everything, so
that's
pretty cool.
Great. You know, it's kind of interesting, because I don't know if you got to see it. I did put an Instagram post out and a Twitter post that you were coming on, and that happened to be the picture that I chose when I looked through Tom Cotter on Google and looked at images. I said, "That's a great picture with the Woody." I said, "Let's use that." So
I found that when I was 15 years old. It was in 1969, and it was parked behind a house on Wicks Road in Brentwood.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I wound up buying that for $300, and it's been a part of my life ever since.
Wow, that's great. What was the restoration like on something like that?
Well, when I bought it, I had no tools, I had no garage, I had no money, and no talent.
Uh-huh.
Besides that, I had everything.
Right.
And so my father and I started to restore it. Fuel pump. All I needed was a fuel pump, and I could have started driving it. But I said, well, you know what? I'm a year away from getting my driver's license. I'll restore it in that year. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, I did the easy thing. I took it apart, and then it's cheap when you're turning the bolts counterclockwise, but when you start turning them clockwise, everything's got to be painted and plated, and, you know, I wound up selling the Woody in 1973 to a collector. And it wasn't done. It was only, you know, maybe 30% restored. I sold to a collector in Puerto Rico, and 26 years later, my wife investigated, found that car, and we bought it back again.
Wow.
So it's been part of my life again for the last 21 years.
That's great. That's great.
So now it's got a late model drivetrain. It's got a new wood body. It's, you know, like it's, you know, I love original vehicles, flathead powered stuff, but this was going to be a driver. And I've driven it to California 3 times now. Oh. It's been on the Barn Find Hunter Series 4 years. It's a great vehicle.
So what did you do suspension-wise on that truck to make it more road-worthy?
It's got a TCI frame, and so it's all, you know, it's like, I guess, a Mustang 2-type front end. It's got a 9-inch Ford rear. It's got, I'm a Ford guy. I just want to let you know, I'm a Ford guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's got an LS1 Corvette motor.
Oh, cool.
Excellent.
And a 700R transmission, you know, it's overdrive. So I get 25 miles a gallon with that thing. It's just amazing. Power steering, power brakes, air conditioning.
Right.
It's just great. But you know, to the average person, it looks like an unrestored car. I mean, it looks like a restored car. It doesn't look like a hot rod. It, you know, it's got hubcaps and
yes.
And it's got the right steering wheel and the right shifter. Everything looks, the gauges all look original, but they're not.
Yes.
So you know, it fulfills my originality viewpoint and also my hot rod. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty visually convincing. I'm looking at some of the pictures online. Yeah, it's from you know a distance away, it sure looks like, oh wow, look at that old Woody. Wow, he's kept it in good shape. Blah blah blah. Meanwhile,
you know,
I wrote a big check for that baby. I mean, I got it back from Puerto Rico, and then I had to write a big check to get it put in that condition. You know, with new wood body and everything.
Oh yeah,
that car wouldn't have happened to have been behind the Pine Park Twin Pines Elementary School in Brentwood, would it have been?
Yeah, it was, exactly.
Aha!
Uh-huh. Wow.
Because our buddy Al, who's from Long Island, now he's in Jersey, he's letting us know that there was a Woody there around the same time, I guess it was that time, and at
isn't
recess,
that something?
And he says at recess he would just stand there and stare at it. So, hey, Al.
Isn't that I was walking across that schoolyard with my buddy, and I said, look, there's a Woody, and we ran around the fence, and it belonged to Richie Taylor. His mother answered the door. I said, is that Woody for sale? She said, yeah. So we went back and looked at it, and she came out and said, you know, my son just bought a bread van. He surfs over at Gilgo Beach, and he's got a bread van now. He can sleep in there, and so he's selling the Woody. So that's the Woody. That's amazing. That guy,
yeah.
That one of your listeners, that's amazing.
Yep, that's our buddy Jeep and Al. Yes.
It's a small planet.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know, I tell you. Well, Long Island, I mean, you know, it's just so... compacted with stuff like that, local history. It's everybody knows somebody who knows somebody. You know, it's
wow, that's amazing. I'm impressed because you know, we're talking a half a century ago. I bought that car.
Well, Al just gave me a 2-word expletive as to how he feels about it too, which is amazing. Yes, absolutely. That's really cool. Yeah. That's
wow. Well, I'd like to meet Al sometime. That's great. Man.
Yeah, well, we could do that because he made a trip into the studio about 2 months ago. So we could put that together. If you're ever in the area, we could make that happen.
Oh, that's amazing.
That
wow.
Is so wild. I was going to say, you know, I'm not going to give it away, but I was going to say anybody who doesn't know your Ford lineage, I mean, would have to say, look, a guy who uses the, like, part of the VIN number for his Cobra in his email address, it's obviously kind of, you know, yeah, he's a Ford guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was working on the Cobra this morning. I'm getting ready, you know, I put our Cobra tours every year, and I get a group of maybe 20 friends with real Cobras, and we tour somewhere in the country. And last year it was, believe it or not, it was Alaska.
Wow.
And I don't know if you guys saw that, but a buddy of mine who was my co-driver, he left his Fig Newtons in the car one night. We woke up the next morning and a bear had ripped the roof off. Now, thankfully, you know, he went after the cloth top and didn't rip the doors off because he could have ripped the doors right off the body.
Oh,
and
sure.
So I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
So this year our tour will be in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. And so that'll be in a couple of weeks from there.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's fantastic.
Tune the banjos up.
You know, that's a great thing to do, and it's certainly something that we all would be inspired by. But, you know, I wanted to mention this one of the last episodes of the Barn Find Hunter that I watched. You went to LeClaire, Iowa, which was it's significant. And tell us why, please.
Well, let's see. LeClaire. Tell me the car.
You were looking at a Ford, an old Ford that was out front, but you found a treasure trove of Pontiacs.
Oh, yes. I had that on my list. Good. I'm glad you
LeClaire,
got to
it. LeClaire, Iowa is the home of American Pickers. And
oh, there you go. Right. Okay, that's right. It's right on the Mississippi River.
Right.
And I said, damn, wouldn't it be funny if we wound up picking right in their backyard? And we did.
And
all within like maybe a mile or two of their headquarters. And some was like literally a block or two away, but some were across the Mississippi River. But literally right across the Mississippi River, you could see their headquarters. And yeah, we found stuff like all around.
Right,
it was such a blast.
That was
yeah.
Rick Riley, and I tell you, looking at the cars he had, the Le Mans collection, the GTOs, and you know he had a what did he have in here?
It was 51 Ford Crestliners.
Oh right, his father's cars. But he had a Riviera that he said was for sale for around about $2,500, and I said, I'll take it.
Yeah, like, seriously.
You know, I have to tell you, the hardest thing about being in cars. And like finding great cars and the price is right and saying, I'm not going to buy it.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's got to be rough.
Yeah.
But let me tell you this. This is pretty cool. Do we have a time limit? Because I can go all day.
No. We're only on for an hour. So
rock on, dude.
We can go for a while longer. Well, yeah.
So, you know, we sit down with the Hagerty people, say, where do you want to go next? And we were in San Diego. And I said, next month, let's go to Midland, Texas. I said, why do you want to go to Midland, Texas? You guys know why I would want to go there?
Why does that ring a bell?
I can't.
Well, that's where Jim Hall built the Chaparral Can-Am
car.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So this little town that's 7 miles by 7 miles in the middle of nowhere in western Texas, this is where some of the most innovative race cars in the world were built. And so I said, well, let's just go there. I've always wanted to see it. So we've met the Chaparral people and all that stuff. But then driving around town and come across this guy's little stash of old Fords in it, mostly old Fords in his yard, maybe a couple other cars, but in his yard behind his shop. He was a hobbyist, and he's got all these cars, and I knock on his door, and he said, yeah, go back there, you know, but I got to tell you, they've been sitting back there for so long, I think I'm getting ready to crush them all. Like, you know, like, I've gotten all the fun I can get out of them, all the parts.
Oh, no!
Wow. So I'm walking around, and I walk and look at this car, but I kept on going back to the 62 Ford station wagon.
Ah.
And I said, you know, there's something about this car I really like. Didn't have an engine, didn't have a transmission, didn't have wheels, just sitting on the ground in Texas. And I said, you know, when I was a kid, there was a commercial for J-Wax Kit Auto Wax, and this guy went to a junkyard, and he waxed his fender up, came up like,
yeah.
I said, son of a gun. I said, do you have any compound ranch? That shop comes out, and he said, this like dry pink looking car is red, and that's a 62 Ford color red. I said, I'd love to buff this thing out. So he gets a big forklift and brings it over to the shop, and I get a buffer on there, and I polish that fender, and it shines like $1 million. And this is a junkyard wagon. And I said, damn, what do you want
make
for this
them
thing?
Like they used to.
Yeah, what do you want for it? Right.
What do you want for this thing? He said, I'll tell you what. I'll sell it for $2,000, and I'll give you every part you need. I'll give you the engine. I'll give you the transmission. I'll give you every part, every piece of trim, everything you need for this car. So I thinking about it. You know, and I talked to Hagerty. I said, I got this idea. And they said, if you want it, let's go for it. So we wound up buying this car out of this guy's yard and for $2,000. And this guy, Tom Cross, what an amazing guy. He had the engine rebuilt. And he had, you know, the transmission rebuilt and all the stuff put in there, dual exhaust and new wheels and tires and all that stuff, all for $2,000. And I'm gonna pick up a week from today. I'm gonna pick it up from Midland, Texas, drive it to McPherson, Kansas, doing Barn Find Hunter episodes along the way, and then we're gonna donate it to McPherson College, which is the only school in America that offers a 4-year automotive restoration bachelor's degree,
right?
And we're going to give it to him as a shop vehicle. So it's going to be this was a junkyard car that, you know, we have very little invested in it, except we found a real nice man to do a lot of work. We went down with students from McPherson that worked on it over the winter, and it's just killer. So you guys watch the internet over the next couple of weeks, and you're going to see this old Ford wagon that literally was going to the crusher.
Wow.
And now it's a new life. It's just amazing.
Episode 34, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Yeah, we will definitely keep in touch with Dex. We want to see what's...
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that'll... We're going to revive that episode we did there, and we're going to update it as a finished car. So we're going to show it as a junkyard car, show it in the process of being worked on, and then we're going to show it driving 1,000 miles to Kansas. It's going to be a blast.
Nice. Yeah. Tom, we want to ask you to stay on with us for a couple, just for a short break while we take care of a little bit of business here. And
yep.
And we'll come back. Well, I think I'm getting hungry. It's time for a taco. So let's go see if we can find a taco wagon.
Let's go.
And we'll be back with a little bit more.
Vámonos!
With Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Tom Cotter on Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay Car Show, happening Sunday, April 28th at Tobey Beach off Ocean Parkway from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
This is a free community event featuring a judge car show, children's activities, clothing and craft vendors, and a food truck midway. Visit WHPC's Motormouth Radio broadcasting live at noon. More information is available online at carshowli.com.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
We are back with Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Mr. Tom Cotter, the Barn Find Hunter, on the phone. All right, we've reset our clocks, Tom, so we're back for more fun.
All right.
You know, you have a tagline that I think you've mentioned way back when you were first in here with us, and it's so true, and it is persistence pays off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you're one of the guys that the other people in the industry look up to when it comes to finding cars, because we've talked to other people who do that over the years, and whenever we mention, like, oh yeah, well, you know, Tom Cott, oh Tom, my God, he's the god of finding cars.
He wrote the book,
and you know, I don't know if it's, I'm sure there's a lot of elements to it, but when you were in the studio, when you were in with us years ago, you gave us some tips and tricks, and I think you published it in one of the books too. That was
I think I had like 34 tips between two books I did. Yeah.
The top four or five, maybe.
Yeah, well, one, you just missed because your vision is like so much further, and you could never see a fender or a piece of chrome off the road long distance in the winter time, but the winter leaves, and there you go. That's one. Go ask like old mechanics in town. Go to a small town and ask the old mechanics, the auto parts store, is there an old guy in town that collects old cars? And most of the time, they say, yeah, old Joe, he's got a whole backyard full of them, you know, that kind of... through the Barn Find Hunter, I've come up with the best one, and I never realized it before. But when I do a Barn Find Hunter episode, and I have my... If I were driving a new SUV or, you know, a shiny pickup truck, I'd be a poser. But I drive an 80-year-old car, and suddenly people see me as a player. And I'll pull up some kind of, you know, one guy was he was kind of a crabby hillbilly in West Virginia, and he had a whole field, a whole mountainside full of cars. And I know he was going to kick us out. And he saw my Woody, and he said, you want some iced tea?
Nice.
Like, suddenly he wanted to talk to me as much as I wanted to talk to him. So,
yeah. You know, I think my new mantra is
to find interesting cars, drive an interesting car.
I think that reminds me of, I think of Arlo Guthrie, and I say, and they all moved back on the bench.
Yep.
You know?
The Group W bench. Yeah, we know that one.
Exactly. Because you're right. You establish your credibility by, you know, the way you walk the walk, talk the talk, and drive the rod. So,
and you know, every time you go to the gas, you're standing at the gas pump, people come over and talk to you.
Yes.
You go to a restaurant, you park outside the restaurant, people wonder, whose car is that out there? And that just begins conversation about people. Everybody knows somebody with an old car. And if you just, yeah, oh, yeah, I know that guy. Sure, check him out. So I tell you, this is the best thing I've ever come up with. Drive an old car.
Yeah. I've gotten that even with my older cars when I'm in the gas station. People come up and say, hey, is that a so-and-so? Or oh, my dad had one of those, or my uncle. And, you know, they're just conversation starters. And sometimes you're like, yeah, but I got to go. I got to, like, I'm on a time crunch. I really want to sit and talk to you, but, you know.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's funny, though. Sometimes I'll drive a Cobra, right? I'll be driving my Cobra. It's a real Cobra. It's a real. And people come up to you and say, you know, in college, I used to have a Common Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, it was a little car. It had no top, yes.
You know, I'll give you the reverse of that. I have a Fiat Spider, a little, you know, 124 Fiat Spider that I drive. And it's a little customized. It's not stock, because nothing I have is stock. Totally.
Yeah, you can't leave well enough alone, can you?
Yeah. So I was in Huntington with it a couple summers ago, and I was sitting at a light, and guy pulls up next to me in a van, and I can just tell he's eyeing the car. He's eyeing me. He's eyeing the car, and he's just looking. And finally, I was resisting the temptation to look over, but I finally did. And he says to me, "Yo, that's a nice car." I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "No one's ever said that before."
Wow.
DWI, huh?
Yeah. And he said to me, he said, "It's a Ferrari, right?" And I was like, "Whoa!"
Wow.
I was like, "Well, cousins, but what makes you say this is a Ferrari?" I said, if this is the Ferrari that it would close any way, shape, or means resemble, but it would be like a 250 GT.
Yeah, you know, right.
I was like, I wouldn't, you know, I couldn't afford it. And he says, well, I see the F on the side of the car. He's seeing the F for Pininfarina, right? And
yeah.
I said, no, that's Pininfarina. That was a designer. I said, sorry to burst your bubble, but this is a Fiat. He's like, wow, dude. He goes, beautiful car. I never would have known. And then we just took off, and it hit me like a minute later, like, damn, that was like reverse profiling.
Yeah, really seriously, cool. Right?
Yeah.
So what, DWI is driving while Italian? Is that what it is?
Yes, for us, yeah. For me and Joe, it is, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was thinking maybe this guy might have been driving while impaired.
Or he like, was,
that
right.
Thing wasn't a, you know, I think it was a Ferrari. I mean, no offense to the Fiat, Ray.
I love that
car. But, you know.
I know.
I mean, let's face
it. Hey, I was just as amazed. Because like Tom said, you know, you got a real bona fide Cobra and people telling you about their Common Gear. Usually I get in the gas station, people say, hey, is that an MG? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's not an MG.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And there's usually
so let me
no
tell
mistake
you about barn find hunting.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to the other side of the country to find barn finds. Literally, where I'm sitting, my house in North Carolina, I've got a big piece of property, and it goes down the fence line. And on the other side of the fence line is a farm, and there's a barn on that farm. And until I realized it, I've been driving by this barn for 20 years, and you always wonder, well, it could be an old truck, it could be an old car in there, maybe it's a pile of hay or a tractor. But you know, I found out that the guy, I have an AC Cobra, the guy over there in the barn has an AC Greyhound, same car company in England, and it's been parked in that barn for a half a century.
Wow.
Because he couldn't get a part for it. So, literally, cars could be as close as your next-door neighbor.
Right.
And probably one of the best barn find hunter programs I did was about a year and a half ago in Charlotte, near where I live, 20 miles. Guy called me and said, you know, I got to get these cars out of my garage. Can you give me a hand? The town wants to tear the house and the garage down because it's, you know, they're falling apart. And this is in the right neighborhood. This is where doctors and dentists live and stuff. It's called Myers Park. And I go down there, and in the garage, I'm going to start. I'll start with the lowest one. He had a little 3-series BMW, little X, like 325X, which is 4-wheel drive. Okay. Forget that.
Right.
He had a TR6 Triumph that he bought new that had 8,000 miles on it.
Wow.
He had a Morgan V8 with 12,000 miles on it.
Jeez.
He had a 427 Cobra that he bought for $42,000 in the early 80s with 17,000 miles on it, and a 275 GTB long nose aluminum body Ferrari that he bought in the early 80s for $47,000 with 15,000 miles on it. Eesh. And he said, I got to get these cars out of here. Can you help me move them to a storage building? And I helped him move them. And he thought he was broke. He thought, like, he had gone through some bad times in his life and wasn't in a good place in his head. And I said, look, I can probably help you, you know, line up some auction companies, whatever. Anyway, for the Cobra and the Ferrari, which, by the way, mice had been living in for four decades.
Yeah.
And stunk, and his mouse was he got $3.5 million for those two cars.
Shut on.
And yeah. That's 20 miles from where I live. That's like the ultimate barn find, a Cobra and a Ferrari in the same building.
Right.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's cool. You know, some of the tips you told us, I remember one in the past you said, you ride a bicycle through your neighborhood.
Or jog or run, yep.
Right.
Go nice and slow. And on a Saturday or Sunday, the garage doors are open, and you can see what's in there. And if you're walking, you can stop and look for a little while.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing was that you said, we all take the same routes to go where we're going, but go the other way.
Yeah,
and
take
look
the
other
way.
You know, the other
dead-end roads, no-outlet roads, the roads that people avoid.
Yeah.
Well, probably 99% of the people don't want to go down there because they know they have to make a 3-point turn to get out.
Right.
You go down there, and there might be something there.
Sure.
You know, so.
And as long as you're not driving your long bed truck with a trailer on the back, it'll be easy for you to turn around. So.
Yeah,
no, we're no kidding.
Especially with a bike or something. Well, Red, you're always sending me, you send me pretty regularly pictures of, well, maybe not cars on that level, but, the odd Camaro, GTO, Nobles, Chevelle.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a bit of that stuff on the island still of, like, the 60s and 70s vintage.
Yeah.
So and that must be... That's a good tactic you used.
I've listened to Tom. Tom, our thoughts on this were, and a lot of people have echoed this, that things like the TV auctions, like Meekum and of course, Barrett Jackson, have killed it for everybody because now everybody thinks whatever they have is worth a fortune. How do you feel about that?
Between the auctions on TV and eBay, everybody with a rusty four-door Nova thinks it's going to pay off their mortgage. So you just got to deal with it. That's the new world we live in, and everybody's doing that. Everybody's a little bit smarter than they used to be. But, my feeling is, I have a Shelby right now, a 67 GT 500. I bought it from the second owner. I've had it for 15 years. He had it for 35 years.
Yeah, and that's the automatic one, right?
Automatic. Yeah. And, people say, how did you get it? Everybody tried to get that car for years. How did you get it? I said, I offered him a fair price.
Right.
And that's it. Everybody else wanted to rip them off and offer them $10,000 for it or something. Mm-hmm. I said, this is what they're worth, and this is what I'm going to offer you. And he said, that sounds fair. It's yours.
Right.
So, it comes down to you don't want to rip off an old lady with a car that her husband left her. You don't want to be that person.
Right.
Maybe some of your listeners do, but I have to hope that people who listen to you guys have integrity. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be the ones that kind of steal money from the old lady. You just do the right thing. And that way, Barrett Jackson and eBay, they won't bother you.
Right. I think that's great advice. So on the other side, we've been talking about cars. What about the motorcycle world? What's been happening in that realm with you?
I guess I'm not really a motorcycle guy. I wrote a couple of books on motorcycle barn finds. But I don't own a motorcycle. I don't ride one. But I love them. And the good thing about them, when you find them, like in a garage, there's like 12 in there. You find one car in a garage or 12 motorcycles in the same garage.
Yeah, you can store a hell of a lot more motorcycles than you can cars.
Right. Yeah. So I didn't really get that gene the way I got the car gene. But a lot of friends of mine, Peter Egan and Jay Leno and stuff. I mean, they're big bike guys. And a guy I really made friends with is. Pat Simmons from the Doobie Brothers got a. When he was traveling around the country, when the Doobies were like the hottest ticket, and they'd be in a tour van, and he'd have way pre internet, he'd have Henry's Motor News, and they'd say to his tour bus driver, "You know what? Go through that little town of South Dakota. The guy's got 3 old Indians for sale," and they'd throw him in the trailer in the back, and now he's got all these bikes that he bought 40 years ago.
That's great.
I got
to throw out two names of guys that know you from back in the day here on Long Island is Bill Dugan and Mike Mooney.
yes, sir.
I'm still Bill built the engine for my Pontiac, and I'm still in touch with both of these guys on a regular basis. So I just told them
Mike lives near me, but it's funny. Mike lives near me, and I haven't seen him in years.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Griffith guy, and you got Sunbeam Tiger.
That's right.
And then Billy Dugan. These guys were my heroes when I was in high school. These guys. Mike Mooney was a cop, and he drag raced, and he road raced, and man, he just. That's who I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And Billy Dugan, I mean, he built this great,
Dukes.
I think it was a Duster.
Yeah.
Like a 340. Just great guys, brilliant machinists. Yeah.
Bill is still building engines out of his garage machine shop. He's still cranking them out.
Yep. In Ronkonkoma?
Yeah, still doing the thing. Yeah. Still doing it out there. Wow. So, yeah, I just told him I promised him I'd shout him out to you. So, the hometown is still very fond of Mr. Cotter, as they say.
Yeah, when I go back there, you know, my mother-in-law lives just off the lake, a couple blocks away, Five Corners.